Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. This is Steven Miranda.
This is Jeff Ellis, previously on NFL Rants and Raves. Today is March 20th, 2013. I've always wanted to do a previously on, previously
but
on
then
24.
Then you give the date. You don't give the date.
I know. I've always wanted to do a previously on 24. Previously on the West Wing.
Okay.
Previously on Hard Knocks.
But if you're going to do a previously, you should have like one or two.
I should have something queued up, but that would certainly insist that I had done my work.
All right. Episode 8.59, the final show of season 8. And it's the Ravy show.
It's the final show of season 8 and
the 8th.
I don't feel like
Ravens.
I don't feel like hanging people out and saying will there be a season 9? Will there be a season 9? Will there be a season 9? Chances are better than not, okay? They're better. 51-49. Let's just put it. Chances are better than not, okay?
Right. Chances are better than
because
not.
You know what? Minimally, Steven and I enjoy doing this.
Okay.
And we want to do what we can for you guys. Yeah, we got to figure out what we want to be when we grow up, and we better figure that out soon.
Yes.
However, that being said, we love doing this.
All right.
So there you go. So there, a little bit of good news to start off the Ravy show with. We've also got NFL news. We have unprecedented things taking place in the Ravy.
I say we skip the NFL news.
You don't like the NFL
we
news,
get,
Steven.
We get straight to the Ravy.
You want the Ravy show just to be a fun show, and you don't
want
to deal with the NFL news that you don't like.
I don't want to rant. Today we're doing the Ravy show, where we rave and we have fun and we give awards and we have presenters and all this good stuff. I don't want to rant.
So you're saying that we should have a Ranties show somewhere to complement.
Kind of sounds
and
like
go
panties. And as long as there's panties involved in the Ranties show, I'm in.
Okay, we've made a rule in my house that we don't use the word panties.
Okay, what are they then?
Female underwear, if you want, or underwear. Or underpants.
Is this a rule that was instated by Kara?
No, it's a rule that came about from a lot of different angles.
Okay.
And primarily, we realize as a family, that this is without Jordan. Jordan's away at school.
Okay, yeah.
So this is not.
So as a family minus Jordan.
Yes.
Okay. So
that look
as partial family.
As most of our family.
Okay.
That we agree, the three of us.
Yes.
That the word panties has a sexual connotation to it.
What?
Yeah. See, now you think because you live in a household of women that now your testosterone is gone, apparently, and so you deny what used to be true, which is before you were married, before you had daughters, the word panties was a great word that made you happy inside.
Never.
Never did the word panties make you happy inside.
No.
Steven at RARN.net, guys, flood his email box with telling him why he's a silly man. But every guy I've ever known, it has had a sexual overtone
your
to it.
Your woman's panties. Your mama's panties.
No.
You thought your mama's panties and you're like, oh, sexual.
No. Overtone. See, my mom, we mom called him grandma underwear. And is there anything sexy about grandma underwear?
No.
My mom wore grandma underwear before grandma underwear was cool.
I see.
Which I don't know if it's ever been cool, but that's how long it's been. But see, that's the thing.
Now,
I'm talking about good-looking
the word
women. Good-looking women.
Claudia's panties. If you said Stephanie's panties. Now we're talking. Now I'm on board.
I need a name to go with it.
But if you just said panties.
If I'm talking Hem of the Heifer's panties, then obviously we're thinking something different, Steven.
All right. Well,
but when you
said the word panties.
Well, because my life,
yes.
And my wife doesn't care for the word, and my daughter doesn't care for the word.
Right. So the females in your life don't care for the word panties.
And they agree with me that there is a sexual tone to it somehow. Mm-hmm. Now, it could be that they're pretty good-looking women and that they agree with me, and they've got enough guys in their lives that have told them,
that have wanted
yeah, I like
panties.
The word. And again, I want your panties. It's different than I want your underwear. That's a boring expression that doesn't arouse anybody. If it does, you're weird. Okay.
So
we have something.
I think you're weird for putting sexuality.
I think you've made my case.
Panties.
I think I've so. Made your
no,
you've made
I,
my
no.
case.
No, like I said,
flood
if you're
his
telling
email box.
Me, you know, once again, Sarah's panties. Trina's panties. I'm on board.
Trina's
those
underwear.
Women. I'm still.
It's the same,
it's same
exactly
thing.
Exactly the
it
same.
Because I've got Trina, and I'm picturing the underwear, and it's Trina.
Yeah.
So I'm in. I don't care if it's underwear or panties or undergarments or whatever you want to call it. I'm in. If you've
Jeff
associated
at rarn.net,
with someone.
Steven at rarn.net.
Just the word panties doesn't mean
flood
anything.
The email. I want email about this, people, because I know I'm not alone. And if I'm wrong, rip me a new one. Let me have it. Flood my email box.
Panties. It's panties, for crying out loud. But we've
just,
got a
wow.
great.
We're going to have to
we
put
got
a PG-14 on this because you said panties 25 times.
We
got to
say,
got a great.
Come on, if you're
going
to do it right. This is the 8th annual Ravies. Come on, if you're going to do it.
8th annual Ravies
yes,
show.
Ready. No, there is no show.
There is a show.
Drop
if,
show.
If we're not
show comes
show.
At the end. Okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
This is the 8th annual Ravies. The 8th time we've done the show.
The 8th time we've done this show, Jeff.
You didn't tell me what the words were going
to
be.
I sang them to you before we started
you
recording.
You sang the first part.
And the second part.
You sang the first part.
Oh my
you
God.
Told me the first part, and I did it perfectly.
You
thank
were
you.
Probably
Even
thinking
though I
about
was
panties
not bored worth the,
while I was singing.
I wasn't, but I am now. Thank
but
you
anyways,
so much.
8th annual Ravies. 8th time we do this show. This is a fun show. We give out some great awards.
I thought the nominations this year were stronger than in most years.
I got emails from people saying it was hard.
It was.
To vote.
Very, very difficult
it
to
was.
Make a good pick here.
But we got some unprecedented stuff, Jeffrey. We got, for the first time in the history of the Ravies, we have a tie.
Yeah.
We have one person walking away with multiple awards.
Multiple award winners for good things.
Yes.
Not for bad things.
Yeah, that's right.
Just be clear. We have had a multiple award winner for bad things.
But trips? Three
no,
winner,
no,
winning three categories?
Trips. And here's the thing with the tie. Steven voted one way. I voted one way. 68 of you voted one way. 68 of you voted the other way.
No.
Two.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
then one.
Yes.
I mean, that's a tie, friends.
Yes.
That's
a
dead
tie.
Heat. Yes. So that's pretty cool.
I thought that was pretty weird that we went with one or the other, and then the people, the fans, voted identical for those two as well.
Wow. I'm kind of disappointed.
What are you disappointed?
I'm disappointed in, although it did take second in one of the categories, Boob of the Year, I'm disappointed in looking at the
– That was,
I really wanted mine, which was the second place.
It was pretty close.
It was close. It was
close.
Really close.
I think it's because I voted for the other one. That's why.
Well, how many votes do you get?
Our votes are weighed 30% each. So yours is 30% of the vote. Mine's 30% of the vote. And then the fans, their vote
60.
Counts for 40.
40. Okay.
Nice.
Told there'd be no
nice
math.
Nice math there.
Thanks.
They
math.
Weigh 40%
okay.
of the vote. Okay.
So they get a bigger vote than us. If
yes.
If they all shoot us down.
They would win.
They win. We
they
don't.
They can. That's right.
And the reason we get so much is.
And that's why I thought we might not get for the tie. I thought since you and I had split.
Yeah.
That they would decide it. Wow. But they didn't. They were split.
So you actually had to put together a spreadsheet to do this math then.
The math is done in the calculations.
That's what I mean. There's calculations.
As people vote.
But I'm saying this divvying up percentages and stuff.
Yes.
Wow,
yes.
There's math involved. Steven Miranda yes. taking it to the next level and doing what needs to be done to make the Ravy Show amazing, per usual.
Yeah,
we don't need no Price Waterhouse Cooper's Library
yeah,
at Smith & Wesson.
We didn't. They were too expensive this year. That's why you and I know the winners already.
Right.
Nobody else knows the winners, but you and I do.
And certainly not Billy and Seth, so that's cool.
Well, can you tell me what happened there, please?
You mean the thing?
Well, should we do news first, and then we'll start the show?
I think we should do the news.
All right.
Because I like the NFL news right now because we got the owners meeting in Phoenix, Arizona.
I'm not.
Mostly because there's baseball going on, and that's, you know, they figure, hey, we got to be where the baseball is.
So the owners have
We need to hit bang the news, dude. Wow.
NFL news. The owners have met, and they have unanimously –
Should we start with the good news? Let's start with the good news.
Voted by getting rid of – there's good news? What good
yes,
news?
Yes, the first
getting
one.
Rid of the tuck rule.
Yay! Can we have the applause for the tuck
NFL
rule being gone?
Has eliminated the tuck rule.
Steven, I am so happy. Happy, happy, happy. I thought it was the dumbest rule we've had in my lifetime.
Yep.
To do this, otherwise known as the Tom Brady tuck rule – and would it
or
have
the Oakland
would it
Raiders
have,
tuck rule.
Would it have changed? No, the Oakland Raiders were the ones who
lost.
They lost because of this stupid rule that was brought in. I'm not going to say.
Dude, that was over a decade ago. Let it go.
I'm not going to. I am over it. I am over it. But the reason that the rule was created out of nowhere, this is one of my life pet peeves, is when somebody comes after the fact and says, oh, yeah, by the way, that shouldn't be that way. The rules don't say that. Yeah, we're going to make a rule that says that shouldn't be that way. Well, no, if the rule doesn't exist now, then you can't rule on it. What and the Tuck rule did not exist.
Yeah, it did. It's just people didn't know about it.
Well, okay.
Nobody knew about it because it hadn't been used in like 40 years.
Okay, then you're making my point differently, and I apologize. I change. Yeah, right. I change. But it's if nobody knows that this is even possible for a quarterback to throw a ball as hard as he can, have it come out of his hand, and them to say, you know what? He really wasn't going to throw it. I read his mind. I brought over a team of psychics. And what he was going to do was hang on to the ball because he's a quarterback. He's got big hands, strong hands.
Dion Warwick said he was trying to tuck it back into
his
body.
And he was going to bring it back into his body, which is a quarterback's prerogative, according to some arcane rule that we once had on the books that we want to resurrect now during a Super Bowl.
It wasn't a Super Bowl.
It was an AFC Championship game.
It was a big game.
It was the AFC Championship game. It was in the snow.
Or division.
Against the Oakland Raiders. They would not. Okay, again, we do not know what would have happened had that.
We don't.
You can't say.
But they run out the clock. I'm sorry.
They did. And the fact is, Oakland barely, I don't even know if they got the ball back.
Well, they wound up tying. They wound up going to overtime in that game because of the tuck.
Did Oakland get the ball back?
Yes, they did.
Okay, because I was listening to Gannon this morning on Sirius XM NFL Radio, and Rich Gannon wasn't making a big deal of it because he says, I'm so over it. I talked to my wife during the break to say the tuck rule was gone, and she said, what's the tuck rule? And he says either A, my family doesn't support me or care about me, or B, we're so over it as a family. And he says, it is B. Yeah. But so Gannon wasn't complaining, but he really didn't remember.
It was the 2001 AFC divisional round.
Okay. Well, he didn't remember if they got the ball back or not. It was his recollection that he didn't get back on the field. He's like, I'm not going to go look at the tape again because I don't like to watch film of games that I lost. But
of games that I lost.
Well, I appreciate the honesty.
Yeah.
I love Gannon. He's just one of those better guys.
I guess he figures it already hurt me once. I don't want it to hurt me again.
Exactly. And I'm not mad about it today. And if I go look at the film, maybe I will get mad.
I will get mad and be like, really?
Let's just not get mad.
But ultimately, what happened
is that. So the tuck rule is gone.
Yes.
Yay.
For all intents and purposes.
So basically, if a quarterback's hand's going forward and the ball comes out of his hand, it's a live ball. It's a fumble.
Yeah.
Or it's a forward pass. It's a forward pass, basically. It's a forward pass, no matter what, if it leaves his hand once it's past his shoulder. Right. And it's a free ball.
It's going to be an incomplete pass or it's going to be a fumble.
Yeah.
There is no more. He was trying to bring it back to his body.
Yeah.
Did it fall out? Whatever. It's either the hand is going forward, it's an incomplete pass, end of down, or it's a fumble, live ball, go get it.
If I had owned the sound card for this entire show, Stephen, I would just be playing applause this whole time because that is a happy thing. No, I don't. It's okay. I'm just saying that's how much I've hated this rule and hated this issue.
Here's the deal, Jeffrey, just so we get it clear for the people. There was a minute 43 left in the game when they stripped Brady and recovered the ball.
Okay.
The Patriots were almost out of timeouts. I think they had one left. So the Raiders would have effectively
Miranda remembers all this.
The Raiders would have effectively ran out the clock. Mm-hmm. And it would have been game over. They would have won. Instead, the Patriots got into field goal range. They kicked the field goal. They tied the game. They went on to overtime. And then they went and they kicked the field goal in overtime and won the game.
So the Raiders were up at 3-3 at that point?
That is correct.
Okay. So basically, if it had been a fumble, could the Raiders have run out the clock?
That's what I'm saying. Had it been a fumble and they recovered it.
How much time was left on the clock?
A minute 43.
Minute 43.
They would have run out the clock.
Yeah, the Raiders could have run out the clock.
It would have been game over. They would have won.
So it really likely could have changed the outcome of because the Patriots went on.
The Raiders were winning.
Was that their first or second Super Bowl that they went on to win after that?
Second, I believe.
Yeah.
The Raiders went on. Raiders were leading 13-10 at the time that it was would have been a fumble. They run out the clock. It's game over. They win 13-10. They go move on to the AFC Championship game. Patriots never go to the Super Bowl.
Beautiful.
So that's how it all happened, but then they said the tuck rule. Brady, it wasn't a fumble, and they got the ball back. They kicked the field goal, went to overtime, and they won the game. So, but it's over. Tuck rule is over. It's gone.
and may now it never return. Now for the bad news. We've got the good news and the bad news. Steven's not happy with this. I'm okay with it.
The NFL, by a majority of 31-1 margin.
And the one abstention, by the way, is not the Oakland Raiders.
No, it's the Cincinnati Bengals.
But it's never – I've never – can't think of a time.
No, this is
one,
the new rule.
I don't care. Wherever there's a 31-1, you can almost bet the farm it'll be the Oakland Raiders.
Cincinnati Bengals, only team to vote against it. It is the new, as they call it, the new crown of the helmet rule.
Dun, 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 dun.
Now, let me tell you what this crown of the helmet rule means, Jeffrey. The new rule, as it is so written, will draw a 15-yard penalty if a runner or tackler initiates forcible contact by delivering a blow with the top or crown of his helmet against an opponent when both players are clearly outside of the tackle box, which is the area extending from tackle to tackle, from 3 yards beyond the line of scrimmage to the offensive team's end line. So if a running back is 8 yards deep, as long as he's between the tackles, go for it, lead with your helmet.
Okay, now I'm going to tell everyone why this is a good thing, and then you can have a go with why you don't like it.
Yes.
Okay, sound fair? A little point, counterpoint. I'm going to be far less passionate, I suspect, than Mr. Miranda because I don't feel as strongly about it as he does. Now, I believe this is a good thing because the bottom line with the NFL these days is player safety.
Safety.
We are not about to make guys wear skirts and play two-hand touch. We're not. This is not a slippery slope moving in that direction.
Really?
It's a step in that direction, Stephen, but it is not a slippery slope that is going to result in that. That is my point. And I believe that if you tell players that you are going to have to change the way you hit when you are a running back, because I have seen some running backs do egregious things with the crown of their helmet, and the fact that they don't have to regard the consequences of that action at all is very troubling to me, because we know what can be done with the crown of a helmet. There's a reason we've had all these rules on the James Harrisons and things like that on the defensive side of the ball. It's about time we have some accountability on the offensive side of the ball for guys in the open field who are running freely to not use their head as a weapon. You can go into and you can still run through a player with your head up, your shoulders forward, and get low. You can still run through somebody. It's not as convenient as a human torpedo, but it can still be done. And I think it's about time from the peewee ranks all the way up that we start to teach guys that you never lead with your helmet.
Okay.
I rest my case. Thank you for giving me that time.
Okay,
Steve,
now let me go there. If you want to teach kids from now on to do that, and then by the time they reach the pro levels and have this rule, I'm all for it. The thing is, you've been teaching running backs from that are playing the game right now and are coming up through the college ranks to just go and blast people with their heads and run over them and get by them and stiff arm them,
run
through them and get by them and keep going. And that is how they've been playing the game. Walter Payton, Emmitt Smith, Marshall Faulk, the Bus, all those guys would not be able to play the game today or be as successful as they were if they're not allowed to lead with their helmet, with their head. That is how they've been taught to play, how they've been taught to run. And all of a sudden, overnight, we are asking guys to change how they're playing. To me, that is what's going to lead to more injuries. Because you're going to have now running backs thinking about what they have to do instead of being instinctive and playing the way they've been playing forever, now they got to think, wait a minute, I can't do that, I can't do that. Boom, they're going to get busted or hit. You're going to have guys on the defensive side of the ball going lower, going for knees, going for ankles. There is going to be more injury because of this rule than there's going to be safety. That is my problem, because the guys that are playing right now have been going at it a certain way. And now you're changing all of that. And that's my problem. It is not a rule that and then you're asking a referee now to make what is probably the worst penalty in the NFL right now that we don't like officials to make? Pass interference.
I was going PI. Okay.
Pass interference? Because it's a subjective call. The refs got to sit there and be like, was the ball was in the air? Did he touch him a little bit? He made contact. All right, flag. And then one referee calls that yes, and the other referee says no. That Now you're asking refs to bring more subjectivity to the game. First of all, are they in the tackle box? Did he really try to lead with his helmet, or was he trying to go with his shoulder? There's more. And when this call gets made, nobody's going to like it.
If guys are playing with their heads up, Steven, I don't see how this is a problem. Okay. Now, yeah, we're talking about a change. And so maybe where we differ,
is
the amount of time it's going to take to get guys ready to make this change and how much we're going to punish right now in the current instead of where it's going to somewhere. I wonder if it should start as a 5 and then it goes to a 10, then it goes to a 15 after a couple years.
Yeah.
So to really emphasize it, but give people time to make this radical adjustment to how you are going to run with the football as a running back. And look, so I heard Brian Westbrook today on the SiriusXM NFL.
Yeah.
And Brian Westbrook was in favor of it, but there's been the legions of running backs that are against this is really, you cannot find the beginning and end of this group of people. Very few people are for this. Jim Brown never lowered his head and is one of the guys that seems to be in support of this. I think that it's something that needs to be considered. I probably agree with you, Steven, that it needs to be done over time. And it's too bad. I hate the subjectivity, but you know what? Part of being an NFL official is getting it right and doing your job as an official to keep the game as safe as it could be. And I read an article recently that said Commissioner Goodell's greatest fear is that someone will die on the football field.
Yeah. But we've had that fear for a long time.
Yeah, but right now in this era, while there are so many players – former players actively suing the league, that makes the critical nature of this so much greater.
Okay,
this is a bigger issue than it's ever been because there is so much money on the table with litigation that is currently taking place, and so there's two parts. And I think I know Roger well enough to know that Kamish genuinely cares about player safety and is concerned about the long-term relevancy of the NFL. And the more safe we can make this sport that we love, the better chance it has to be viable 20 years from now. If we find out that repetitive head injuries are basically the next thing to cigarette smoking as far as one of the dumbest things you can do or drunk driving, then we're going to have the NFL disappear. If we can make it safer in the meantime, not to where you eliminate all risk, but you make it safer. And you make it so, you know what? It's not idiotic to play in the NFL. It's
robot football. Let's build robots that can play football. Then guys like you and I, we could control the robots.
Then I could actually play, is what you're saying?
Yes, you could play. Yeah.
Then I could actually get on the field and do something. I wouldn't want to play with my son, that's for sure.
No.
Guy beast at Madden.
All right, we're getting – this is up-to-the-minute news right now. We are hearing that the Pro Bowl is definitely on for 2014.
Oh, wow.
There are some tweaks to how the teams might get built. There might be kind of like
– robots?
No.
Damn it.
No, I'm talking about like – you know how like right now fans vote, coaches vote, players
right.
vote. It might be more kind of like a couple people getting voted by the fans than – the rest of the team,
Associated Press.
The rest of the team is kind of picked by like a captain. So like they would like so it would be like
okay,
like
Peyton,
team Peyton versus
Peyton,
team
Peyton is time to choose sides.
Yeah,
Tom.
Then on the
Peyton
a-
Tom.
NFC.
Peyton and Tom.
No, Tom. They're both.
They're both in the AFC now, as they have been
they
forever.
Have been,
never
right.
mind. Yeah. So on the NFC side, we're gonna have Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
over team there, Rodgers and we're gonna have Peyton Manning, and you choose sides.
Yeah, something like that.
And he's gonna pick Greg Jennings with his first pick, just to stick it to Ted Thompson. What do you say? No.
He might. He might. So I don't know. They're playing around, but it's definitely on. It's definitely
everybody in the NFL's out in front of you, Steven. Everyone in the AFC, everyone in the NFC, and you're choosing sides. You got it broken out by wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs. He's like, all right.
Your own teammates like, look at
dude.
That. Beep 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 beep.
Donald Driver's like, I knew that's why you let me go. I knew it was you. You wouldn't take me down.
You didn't freaking pick me on your team. That
dude.
Sucks, dude.
And I was the backup.
So anyways, it's definitely on, and it is in Hawaii. 2014 is on for the Pro Bowl. Now, that's that.
They really – because they didn't want to do it in New York the week before?
That's right.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Then Jim Brown. So someone could – because great running backs don't use their heads. Huh, that could be taken a couple ways.
Yeah, but let's take it the way that we intended, not the and not the New Orleans way, having to do with crawfish.
No, I'm talking. That's not even that. Okay, that's. I guess that's a third way.
That's a third way. I was going to leave the other one out.
They don't use their heads like they're smarts. Their brains. They're not smart.
Jim Brown never lowered his head.
Okay, that's great for him.
I know, but it's
not great.
So
for
it can be done. Adrian Peterson. He's more of an upright runner, but yes. He will at the end. Everyone's instinct is to lower your head.
And
now here's what's interesting.
Because
though,
what do you want to do as a tackler? Do you
as a tackler,
give him a bottle? Here's my body, tackle me, or here I'm coming in with my I'm gonna punish you for trying to tackle me. I'm gonna punish
you. If you're coming in with your head, right now the way it is that the defender, the tackler, is trying to attack your sternum. And what ends up happening more often than not is the running back lowers his head.
We've got
helmet to helmet.
Yes.
You come in with your head up. I'm aiming for your sternum with my shoulder pads, not my helmet. We have a chance at a reasonable outcome here where somebody doesn't get hurt.
But I think the problem is that if you're a running back and you're told not to lower your head, you're going to have guys coming full speed ahead with their head, and they're going to put it right in between your numbers.
Well, they're not. They're coming with their shoulder, but their head is in front of your shoulders. Your head's in front of your shoulders when you're running. I agree with that.
And you're giving them
Here's
the big S.
Well, what if you do a
Superman on my chest?
What if
come right at me?
What if you do a juke move since you have to keep your head up? You're looking. And who's going to be more apt to cut, the guy who's looking at his toes or the guy who's looking up and downfield?
Yeah, but I'll tell you.
I'm supporting you. I'm supporting you.
I know, and I want to show you. Because
so let's say I make a joke.
What has been the most popular play in the NFL lately? Guys hurdling other guys. Because the guys are coming with their head down to put their head right smack dab in your sternum. What are you going to do? You're looking at the ground. You don't know I'm about to hurdle you. And the guy hurdles him. That is what I'm talking about. This is that a
you got
running
a chance
back
at more explosive plays.
Yeah, I'm just saying is that a running back. If I'm not certain that the defender is coming to me and he's not going to crown. I don't trust that he's not going to come at me with the crown of his head. Why should I allow him to put that crown of his head into my body?
Yeah, we have to get to a point where people are trusting that people are not leading with the crowns of their helmets, and that is going to take time,
which
is what Steven has said. In the meantime, Steven, I think the guy who does the juke move, he's liable to catch a helmet in the sternum.
Or in the knee.
Because the guy's trying to go for a shoulder. He's trying to put a shoulder in the sternum, but now you did a juke move. Yeah. Guess what? You just teed up your chest.
Yeah,
and got your ribs cracked.
It's going to be interesting to see how.
But
this
ribs
plays
broken
out
versus a head broken, I'll take the ribs. Thanks.
I don't know.
Ribs.
Ribs is good. I've never had
ribs for
broken
dinner. Oh, I've had several broken
buy
ribs.
Me ribs for dinner. I'm in. Oh, March Madness tomorrow. Are you there?
Yeah.
Benson and I are
Slater's 50-50 in Pasadena. We've got to give them a shout out. We love it.
That is an option. The other option
what
was Barney's.
Barney's Beanery's great, but Slater's has more bigger TVs and more interesting
bacon
food.
Bacon.
That includes bacon.
Bacon-infused ketchup.
I want to
figure out how to make that. Oh, and guess what I got yesterday? My blender, I had a green grass of home last night. Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
The green grass of home, man. All right, are we done? Is there any other news?
Well, we have this last piece of show
there's
news.
There's tons of
Free agency trash.
And
if you're not on our Facebook, by the way, Facebook, we want to thank I should look up the gentleman's name right now, and I'm going to. But we finally, Steven, finally hit the 2,500
2,500 on Facebook?
Yeah. It's only taken us several years. But you know what? We got there, and I'm really happy about that. But my point is, if you want to know what's going on with us, make sure that you're following us on Facebook or Twitter. I usually handle the Facebook. Steve usually handles the Twitter, but we basically are generally on these things and knowing what's going down, and we post stuff there. And Mark Inchia.
2500.
Mark Inchia is the newest. He works at Cell Bikes, and he studied at Temple University, and he lives in Shanghai. And he's from Honolulu. So welcome to the family and Facebook. And for everyone else who says, I didn't get a shout out, you didn't hit number 2,500. Now, that doesn't mean that you should leave us and drop us back below 2,500, because we will. The numbers ebb and flow. Some people just go, yeah, I don't want to follow anymore. That's cool. And that's fine. But there you go. That's where you can get your latest breaking up-to-the-minute player movement news and things. And if we know that we're going to be doing a radio appearance or something, we will post that there as well. So the last thing news-wise, Stephen, I have is I got a voicemail on my way into the cave today. And let me read the voicemail. Uh-oh. Get out my phone. Read the voicemail.
You got a voicemail. Yeah, please. I want to see how you read voicemails.
Well, there's actually a voice-to-text feature.
Okay. What did the voicemail is from whom?
It's from Chad.
Chad. Do I know Chad? Chad Billingsley?
Chad Billingsley. Good pull there. Yeah, no, it's Chad Roston.
All right, what did Chad
say? And Chad Roston just needed to let us know that Billy Crystal was unable to make
it
today.
No.
Yeah.
Tell me you're kidding me, Jeff. We're going to go from having two people to having none.
No, we're not.
15 minutes before we started the show, Seth came to me and was furious when he found out that he was going to be co-hosting with Billy and said he is not Billy's second fiddle and he's done. And then he sang like a 3-minute song about how he's not the second fiddle and he took off. He was in his tux ready to do the
show.
Billy
was here. I mean, Seth was here. I saw him.
He's gone. He left.
I saw him wearing it. He had a glass of Cristal in his hand.
Somebody told him that Billy was doing it with them. We're going to do it together. And he freaked out, and he's gone.
Dude.
Tell me Billy's here.
No, Chad says that he's got a, you know, he has a prior engagement that he didn't know about.
And is that how he kind of stuttered when he said it? I got a prior engagement.
Okay, let me read
you. So they're lying?
Let me read you the message.
They don't have a prior, so they bailed.
Let me read you the message.
Billy
He's the consulting producer on a show that Billy's working on. Knows that he's been in the business forever, and he's very appreciative for the opportunity that we gave him, and he's going to hopefully be available next year. And besides that,
how did we go from two hosts to none in a matter of minutes?
I would say because you screwed it up and didn't know that Billy was going to flake on us for the, what, eighth time?
Yeah. You invited Billy. I wanted Seth all along. And Seth was on board.
You just want Seth and his songs and his boobs.
Yeah, his song about not being the second fiddle was really good. And he kind of spoke about butts and stuff. It was funny. But he's gone. So they're stuck with us. We're doing the show
again. It's not like we've never done it before.
All right, folks. It's the
Annual Rabies.
I'm
not using the word show wrong. I have to get in my props for myself. Go round, I did well, and I didn't use the word show where I want to.
Folks,
submitted myself to you.
You guys are stuck with us again. Thanks for coming. This is the 8th annual Rabies, and we're going to start right off the bat. Without further ado. Jeffrey, it is the first category, Comeback Player of the Year.
It's the Comeback Player.
He came back and did this well year. There you go.
All right. Very good. Your nominees, friends, from the Denver Broncos.
How we do this? We do this different every year.
Everything together. We'll alternate on nominees.
So you do the nominees. I'll do the winner. And then the next one, I'll do the nominees, you do the winner. How about that?
How many are there?
I don't know, 14?
Do I end up with the best one at the end?
Yeah. No, I get the best one.
Then you should start.
No, you go first.
You go first.
The nominees, you said the nominees are already.
I was teeing it up for you.
The nominees are.
The nominees are quarterback Peyton Manning, Denver Broncos, coming back from multiple neck procedures to play at a ridiculously high level. Adrian Peterson coming back from multiple knee surgeries to play at a ridiculously high level. Randy Moss for just being relevant and out there.
He didn't play the whole last year, so he's coming
back
from
out last year and made himself very viable for a team that was that close to winning it all. Jamaal Charles, running back of the Kansas City Chiefs, with a knee injury that was devastating. And T. Sizzle had his bicep issue that kept him out and injured. And we've got him back in the fold for the Baltimore Ravens.
Here is how it played out, Jeffrey. All but three votes went to Peyton Manning and Adrian Peterson. All but three.
That's amazing. Out of 141?
Yes.
That's amazing.
All but three. So that leaves 138.
So basically, two people picked Randy Moss. One person picked T-Sizzle. Nobody picked Jamal Charles.
Right.
Everybody was on Peyton and Adrian, as they should be.
And the winner is... We have a tie!
What?
That's right. We have a tie!
What?
For the first time in the history of the Ravies, we have a tie, friends.
Peyton Manning and Adrian Peterson!
They are the winners, both together, in the first tie of the Ravies.
Wow. You took Peyton, didn't you?
I did take Peyton as comeback.
Okay, I took Adrian.
I took Peyton just because, Stephen, I seriously feared I would never see him play again.
You did. You did.
And I lamented that and fretted about that for a long time.
You cried
and
to
so
me for a little bit.
I did. Yeah. And so for me to take Adrian, it's
I
like
can't
it's not
I
like
I never saw Peyton play.
No, it's not that I never saw him play. It's that well, it is I never saw him play live.
Yeah.
But it's I don't remember the last time I saw him play.
Right.
When you are amongst greatness, all you want is to be able to say, "Yeah, I remember Carl Yastrzemski's last at bat in Anaheim Stadium, Stephen." When you have the greatest players, I remember Bo Jackson's final at bat.
Yeah.
So all these things are precious to me. I don't remember seeing Peyton Manning play for the last time. I know I saw it,
yeah.
But I don't remember it because none of us knew it was going to be his last time. And that, to me, was a crying shame, and that's why I took my guy.
I see. I voted Adrian Peterson because you come back from, first of all, earlier than anybody thought you were going to come back.
Earlier than any doctor even thought was possible.
And then you're 9 yards shy of breaking an all-time record for rushing.
And that has what to do with comeback player?
That has everything to do with the comeback player.
How so? Sounds more like an MVP kind of thing.
You came back from missing the end of the season last year because you were devastated with an injury, and that injury just so happens to be on your legs, all those legs that you use to run, and you almost broke a record.
You want to know what a spinal cord does?
What?
Keeps you upright.
Okay. Well, this wasn't a spinal cord.
Okay. So I'm not arguing with you, but I am pointing out why you're wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just be clear.
So you're saying that Payne's injury was more devastating?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, if he got hit wrong this year, there was reasonable chance that he could end up with paralysis. The worst thing that happens to Adrian Peterson is he walks with a permanent limp. And
I didn't know it was paralysis type deal for Peyton Manning.
Neck fusion, it puts additional strain on the vertebrae that lie above and below, because the whole reason we have all these vertebrae in our spinal cord is so that we can move
can
to absorb into things so we can bang.
Bend.
Yes, so we can bend and bang. And anytime you fuse two of them, you've lost that percent of your mobility, flexibility, and he's had multiple fusions.
Right.
And then it puts a lot of strain, and we don't physically know. He's in uncharted water, Stephen. We don't know what the long-term effects are going to be of this, and I've done enough with backs and necks that I fear that, and so I was just goofing with you about who's right and who's wrong. They're both very deserving.
It's a tie.
So that gets us to the best play of the year.
Best
and
play of the year.
And we've had some humdingers.
There were some great. You know what? There were some plays that didn't make this list. That
yeah. Oh
should
yeah.
Have made this list. There were just some really.
And
good
this
plays.
Is one of those categories where everybody received votes. Okay, every category.
I don't know why.
Just too close to love you.
Yes, I don't know. It's because maybe
it does. It feels like I'm just too close to love.
Are
you?
Are you?
I am.
It possibly.
I'm gonna back up a little bit. That feels a lot better.
All right. There you go. Best play of the year. The nominees are Ray Rice gaining 30 yards on 4th and 29 to help beat the Chargers.
Jeez.
Remember that 4th and 29?
I'll never
and
forget.
He took a 2-yard pass. It wasn't like he caught a 30-yard pass. He took a 2-yard pass and gained 30 yards on it. Robert Griffin III's 76-yard touchdown run to clinch a win against the Minnesota Vikings. Nate Washington's 71-yard TD after a circus catch over the Lions defender.
That was sick.
I don't even know
that
how
was
he
sick.
Caught that ball. Steve Gregory's 32-yard fumble return for a touchdown after Mark Sanchez's butt fumble.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that, right?
I'll never forget that play.
And, of course, Vic Ballard's leaping, twisting, game-winning TD in overtime against the Titans. That one was sick. He took off the corner, and then he kind of like – if you see the instant replay, he starts to dive, and then he literally, his body does like, yes, like it becomes a drill. And he drilled into the end zone.
I was thinking of a dreidel.
A dreidel, okay. Dreidel. He spins, and he gets the end zone in overtime. And those,
it's amazing he ended up running the right way, yeah, I mean, after spinning like that. So
those are the nominees, Jeffrey.
Well, the bottom line is,
the winner is... Oh, wait, that was the wrong one.
Ray Rice. Ray Who else Rice. Could it be? It's got to be Ray Rice.
How could you not? Yeah, absolutely.
Look, everybody else got about 10 votes, and that seems fair.
Yeah.
But the overwhelming 90 were...
Landslide.
Landslide victory
it was a
here,
landslide.
Friends.
I suspect the reason it was such a landslide, we both were on that one.
Oh, but it was,
I think we
it was spectacular.
Yeah.
There's nothing like, we haven't seen a play like that in a couple of years.
Yeah.
And the fact that your team goes on and wins a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And if you lose that game, you may not even make the playoffs.
Yeah,
think about it.
There's stuff.
There's implications.
There's
things.
There's stuff. Well, we're just going to keep right on moving and rolling, and let's get to Coach of the Year.
A lot of great candidates. Again, everyone got votes here, although the votes were – there was three that were very strong and two that weren't as strong, but I could even come up with more coaches that deserve. First off, we have San Francisco 49ers coach Jim Harbaugh. Make sure your microphone is down when you're doing
Harbaugh!
A shout-out. Exactly. We have Pete Carroll, Seattle Seahawks.
Old dude! I mean, Pete Carroll!
Old dude, always grooving, always competing. Always competing, yes. Pete Carroll.
I suspect when I'm like 60, because isn't he like 60?
He's 62, I believe.
Okay, when I'm 62, I'm going to be like hopping and bopping and doing.
If you have his kind of energy, dude, yeah. I just want to be around you.
Okay, be around me, because, yeah.
Just think about.
I was apparently the life force at the field trip yesterday to the Cabrillo Marine Aquarium.
Yes.
Which is the smallest aquarium on the planet.
I thought, wow, I had a goldfish when I was young, and I thought that was a pretty small aquarium.
This is smaller.
Smaller than that. Amazing.
Okay, it's slightly larger than your goldfish.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I saw the pictures of the kids, and they look like they're having a lot of fun. And once again, the best dad in the world was there to make sure everyone had fun.
You got to have fun.
You do. So, Coach of the Year, Jim Harbaugh, takes his team to the Super Bowl. Amazing. Amazing.
Wait, we were on Pete Carroll.
I got to build the case. Jim Harbaugh makes.
Give me the nominees.
He makes the quarterback change. Pete Carroll has the cojones to go and draft a Jamarcus Russell.
Animal.
What is so wrong with building a case?
Who's Jamarcus? Who drafted Jamarcus Russell?
Sorry. Russell Wilson.
Oh, okay. I was like, please. That coach does not get nominated for freaking coach of
the year.
Was
it Tom Cable? You know what? That was still
was
on
forced,
Al Davis.
It was forced upon him.
That
yeah,
was still
Al
on
Davis
Al Davis.
Really wanted, yeah. That's on Al. That was
God rest his soul and may yes. he never return because the team could go places. Pete Carroll made the ridiculous draft of little Russell Wilson and did such a great job with that team. Bruce Arians, Indianapolis Colts, stepping in.
Not your team, and you lead them to,
yeah.
what was it, 10 victories, playoff win? And
a rookie wins. Quarterback, and you come in, and you take a team that lost, 13 games last year?
Yep.
13 games last year, and you're 14. Not even the main 14. Guy.
There were
14 wins.
14, yep.
And remarkable what Bruce Arians did. And hats off to him. John Fox, the Denver Broncos, brand new system, brand new scheme. I've won with Tim Tebow. I've won with Kyle Orton. I've won with Peyton Manning. What do these quarterbacks have in common?
Nothing.
A head coach that is John Fox, tremendous head coach. And Mike Smith, the Atlanta Falcons head coach. They got them oh so close. They got their first playoff win. And that was a huge monkey to get off their back. And Mike Smith is on there for those reasons as well. And, Steven, that brings us up to the winning coach of the year. Good candidates.
The coach of the year for the 2012-2013 season is...
Jim Harbaugh, San Francisco 49ers.
Excuse me?
Is that your
you
job?
You did the nominations.
Oh, then it's
I
not.
I announced
it's
the
not.
Winner.
It's not. It's Pete Carroll. It's Pete Carroll of the Seattle Seahawks.
You're wrong.
Oh, then what
it's
is it?
Jim Harbaugh.
Hey!
Francisco 49ers.
Hey, but you got to say it.
Jim Harbaugh, congratulations for coaching the Niners, getting them to the Super Bowl, making a change at quarterback when everybody calls you foolish and silly and you don't know what you're doing with your quarterback.
Especially that guy.
And taking Colin Kaepernick all the way to the Super Bowl and nearly pulling off the upset there against
you. Can you still feel Cap's sadness post Super Bowl?
No.
I can't.
I'm gone.
You've moved on.
I've moved on. I wear the hat to remind me of the Super Bowl and how much fun it was, but I've moved on for the most
Collins, part. And another reason to get on Facebook is to see the great photos that we're able to provide for you guys. And we'll have a bunch of them from New York, obviously, with the draft coming up. But the photo that didn't turn out as I thought it would with my really nice camera of Kaepernick and the flash went off late and it created a real blur and distortion. You know what picture I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know.
That ended up being such a great photo for me that was iconic as to this Super Bowl and the sadness that was around him standing at the podium.
Well, I think that was his aura around him.
It was. And my camera was cool enough to catch it. It wasn't a misfire of the camera at all.
You captured the sad aura around him. And he just, he's all like just
anyway, and those pictures are up on Facebook and stuff. So that brings us to the next category, which is we're getting into some of the sad ones here.
Well, I think this is – isn't this like the point in the show where like Seth was going to sing a song?
Yeah.
Do we know the song?
No.
Darn it.
I know the key.
Well, that doesn't help me because it would be good if we knew the word.
The key was A.
And we are you sure it wasn't C?
No, he actually was very intentional, at least in rehearsal. He was asking the musical coordinator to make sure he did an A. It was a little easier to sing,
okay.
He thought.
All right.
But that's all we have is a key.
Great. That's not going to help us. This is what we'll do instead. How about this, Jeff?
It's a morenita. It's como baila.
Musical number.
It's a Mexican song.
Yeah.
That I like.
Shake it. You know, freaking magazines are going to write how, like, insensitive we are and stuff, and our show was insensitive towards Latinos and stuff.
Why?
That's what they're going to write.
Because Mexicans love that music?
Because that's the song we
play. Because Mexicans love that music?
I don't know.
Then we're insensitive and that a half-Mexican here likes that music?
They always find fault
they
with
do.
Every show.
They do. So they're haters. They're haters. Haters.
All right. Biggest disappointment this past season. We'll start with the nominees. The defending Super Bowl champion New York Giants failing to make the playoffs.
Ugh.
The Houston Texans losing 3 of their last 4 regular season games and getting embarrassed by the New England Patriots in the playoffs.
Ugh.
How Tim Tebow was used by the New York Jets.
Wait, was he used?
No.
All right.
That's why it's a big disappointment.
Ah.
The Philadelphia Eagles Dream Team Part 2 failing to make the playoffs again, posting only 4 wins.
Wow.
And the final biggest disappointment of the season, the San Diego Chargers failing to play the playoffs yet again.
Unbelievable.
And, Jeffrey, it goes to you. The winner is...
The winner is the Super Bowl 46 champion New York Football Giants failure to make the playoffs at all
in
the 2013-2012 season.
I must say this was a closely contested.
Extremely closely contested. Hotly contested.
The San Diego Chargers were a close second.
I think it's ironic, Steven, that the number 1 and 2 votes both were about teams not making the playoffs. That was the biggest disappointment. Why do you think that is?
Well, because it's disappointing when you don't make the playoffs.
Well, certainly, but most teams didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, but most teams weren't thought of at the beginning of the season that they were going to make the playoffs, right? You don't go into the season saying, the Cleveland Browns are going to make the playoffs.
We're looking to win 4 games.
Right. So that's what I'm saying.
Maybe 5.
This is the defending Super Bowl champs. They're going to at least make the playoffs, right? They're the defending Super Bowl champs.
Well, what about the Super Bowl curse? Or the hangover.
Well, that's for
the
losing. That's for the losing team.
There's the Super Bowl winner hangover where they tend to not do as well.
Yeah, but they make the playoffs.
They make the playoffs.
The curse, the Super Bowl losing curse is if you lose the
Super
Bowl, you don't make the playoffs the next year.
What do you think chance of the 49ers not making the playoffs next year? Yeah, I think we're seeing times changing.
I don't know. They're losing players, dog. This is the first time
they're
in
adding
a while
too.
Where, yeah, not to the caliber of the Deshaun Gosen that they lost. And I mean, they're losing some defensive players to free agency that last year somehow they managed to keep them.
Yeah.
And this year they're letting them go. So we'll see.
You got a lot of dollars behind your iPad there.
I do. Some of them are broken.
Broken.
I mean, cut.
Broken would infer, and cut would infer, broke means that it's like, yeah.
These, well, it's broken.
They're torn.
Oh, okay, they're torn. Well, you can't use torn dollars at a store. Like, if I went with this torn dollar, they wouldn't take it.
If you taped it, you could.
Well, yeah, if you tape it. Yeah, you got to admit. It was close. Who'd you vote for in this one?
I voted for the Giants.
No, because I voted for the Giants. The numbers don't.
Okay. I might have voted.
You had the Chargers.
I had the Chargers? Yeah. I would have picked Tebow over
you
the Chargers,
for,
I would think.
For the Chargers.
Look, here's the thing is when the ballot, Steve and I agree on the ballot, and then our first vote, our only vote, is testing to see if the damn thing works, to see if the voting works.
Yo, wait a minute.
That's my only vote.
I sent an email saying it's live. You didn't get that?
No. Oh, I got that email, but I didn't do anything because I thought you already had my vote.
So the votes that you put in were your test votes? They weren't real?
Well, they were just making sure it works. I didn't put my most thought into it.
Oh, I see.
I didn't labor.
Well, then that's what the thing went off of.
That's what I assume, is that I didn't know that I could actually have a do-over. And, frankly, I didn't take the time. Let's just be honest.
All right, let's move on to look out for next year.
Jeff
maybe,
being more
maybe
careful.
Maybe next year we can be Jeff being more careful when he votes.
Well, the first time is just let's make sure it works, and I support you, and I want to get it turned around as quickly as possible so you can know it works. Yes. Isn't that nice?
It is.
Okay.
And everybody did it. Jordan did it for me.
Okay.
Trisha did it for me.
Okay, that's the thing. We want to get this turned around as quickly
and
as possible and know that it works.
But then, like, immediately after that was like, now it's live here. Thank you for being a show donor, blah, blah, blah. You got that one, right?
Yeah, but I forget.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I already voted.
Great. So that's why when I was putting in the system and the thing, I had to go and find your.
You had to go find my votes.
Your test votes.
No, okay. Now that I know that it actually inconvenienced you, that I will do better.
Look out for next year. It's your.
I thought it was my turn, but you were talking.
Sorry.
Seattle Seahawks winning the NFC West. Look out for that next year because that
wow.
could certainly happen. Why not? You already got the San Francisco 49ers maybe not making the playoffs. We know that the Arizona Cardinals are better, and we know that the Rams – well, never mind. Rams are
take long, dude.
The Rams are trying to come
to
L.A.
They're starting to get somebody to block for people. They could get a running back.
They got nobody.
Nobody?
They lost Amendola. Steven Jackson, and then the other wide receiver, Brandon Gibson. It's like, come on, guys.
They're going to be all right.
They're not going to be all right. They're going to be in L.A. Look out for next year. Baltimore Ravens struggling to make the playoffs. That is the Super Bowl champion, Baltimore Ravens, struggling
to make
the playoffs.
Yes, well, the Giants were just the biggest disappointment for that.
New Orleans Saints coming back with a vengeance. I would look out for that. Robert Griffin III struggling to find his form from last season. Ooh, that got a lot of votes. Kansas City Chiefs become competitive with Alex Smith at quarterback, and I would add all the other things they've done. Kansas City is looking like a team to be feared this year.
They retained Bo.
They did a great – they've done a lot of nice moves there, and my hat is off to what's going on in Kansas City right now.
All right, but the winner for the lookout for next year, the Baltimore Ravens struggling to make the playoffs. Do you think that – I think that has something to do with maybe if we did this like 2 weeks ago, that doesn't win. But I think they've lost so many
They have.
Like, seriously, you're the defending Super Bowl champion. We're just going to pillage you. We'll take this player.
I'm going to Disney
we'll
World.
Take this player.
While you're
we'll
at Disney World.
Oh, you okay, so you're going to give Flacco $120 million. You keep him for that much, but I'll take this player, and I'll take this player, and they just get pillaged.
They did get pillaged.
So it's going to be interesting.
It will be at that. That was a – it's tough. I mean, when you are the Super Bowl champions, you're going to get targeted. That's all there is to it. People are going to – and the fact of the matter is for the Baltimore Ravens, they were already an older team.
Yeah. You know what I do remember from the Super Bowl post-game conferences, press conferences? Ray Rice yelling
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Ray Lewis.
Yes, yes.
And to Torrey Smith. We did it!
We did it!
We did it! They all started. Then they all started. It was like a cattle call. Like there were
it
like
was.
Wolves calling. And then Ray starts. We did it! And then we did it! We did it! Pretty soon, everybody who was a Raven who was on a podium giving
it. It was the fires yelling. Of Middle Earth being lit.
We did it!
You know, from one mountaintop to the next, yes. They light the fires in Middle Earth.
Yes, that was awesome.
That was awesome.
And why did they light those fires, by the way?
Because something bad was going to happen.
No.
It was. It was a warning.
No, it was.
It was a warning.
It was a call.
What, a call to arms?
Yes.
Because Gandalf had ridden over the hill?
To go, that they needed the help from Rohan.
Riders of Rohan!
The king of Rohan needed to send his riders for help, yes.
Ah. Yes, that was an amazing scene that Peter Jackson pulled off there.
I don't know how he did it.
You know, The Hobbit's coming out Tuesday on Blu-ray.
You look in the distance, you're like, where in the world is it going to get lit? Oh, my God, there it is!
Yeah.
You don't know where it's going to get lit, and it just gets lit.
Did you see The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey?
Yes, we did.
And you liked it?
Yes, we did.
Okay, so when it comes out on Blu-ray and DVD combo pack on Tuesday,
you should get it.
I should wait for you to get it and then borrow it?
No, we learned with The Lord of the Rings, you wait for all of them to come out, and then you get the
special editions.
The big, you know, it has everything, and it's got all the movies.
95 hours of bonus features.
Because with The Lord of the Rings, I got each individual DVD.
Right.
And then I got each special edition DVD. And then I got the box of each one with the extended
version.
Which extended version of the movies, with the movies already long.
Yeah.
Well, this adds like another hour to each movie.
Yeah. I don't care for the extended versions.
And then we got the big set.
I like that the extended versions include parts of the book that didn't get covered in the movie. I like that.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
But, yeah. So, Karen and I are reading The Life of Pi right now. We did not see the movie.
Okay.
So, you're apparently it's an assignment for her. We just happened to be at the same point in the book. Didn't know that each other was reading the book.
Oh, okay.
So, my daughter doesn't read. She knows how.
Yeah.
But she's 15 and likes boys
more.
She
has an aversion to it?
Yes, she does. Yes. She has a serious aversion.
I, at that age, had an aversion to reading.
So, there is hope for her someday?
Yes, it is.
Because that makes us sad, her mother and I, and her brother who loves to read.
My aversion to reading ended my sophomore year in college. And then I just read every day. I couldn't read enough in college.
See, she seems like a reader because when Kara's not spazzing, and for all of our not U.S. friends, that's not pejorative.
She's not being mean.
But when she's not out there just being crazy girl, she likes to be quiet in her room and stuff. Yeah. And so why not, instead of doing your nails, read?
Yes.
That's just me.
She that's was just funny. Me. Trisha overheard her telling Dee Dee, I was kind of letting my goatee grow. And there were some gray hairs in my goatee. And she was like, I thought Steven was my young uncle.
Nice. He is the young uncle. Who's the young uncle? Adam?
There is no young
Adam has no hair. Okay. My brother looks like Michael McDonald.
Yeah, he is Michael McDonald. So, we're not in love anymore. Every time I see him, I see that
Who
song.
Is the young uncle if it's not Steven? Yeah. Steven is the young uncle. Yes. That's all there is to it.
Just so happens
there's
that
not very many contenders.
I don't have a lot of gray in my hair, but I've got
lucky
gray
man.
In my chin. I don't know. So
I'm having to.
So I shaved it. No more goatees for me.
Because of the girl.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, I shaved mine because it was white like Santa Claus.
Yeah, you were Santa Claus.
Yeah. And so I'm actually leaving the sides of my hair longer because to try and mitigate the gray issue.
All right. So I think since we've been talking about this stuff
in
the air, I think this is the part of the show where we tell jokes.
Okay.
Are you ready? I got one.
I'm going to go first. Man walks into a bar.
And what happened?
Ow. Okay. Love that joke.
You ready for this? Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Oh, damn it. You got me.
I told that to Emma, and
she's probably still laughing.
Her own series of them. She's now interrupting dog, interrupting cat,
interrupting hat,
interrupting spider.
Oh, what does the spider say?
I don't know. I haven't heard it yet.
I don't want to hear it.
But she just thought that literally when she says interrupt, I said moo. She just she lost it.
She gets it.
She got it completely. I get, and for a second I didn't think, I was like, she's not going to know what interrupting means, but she knew.
She can't spell it, but she knew.
No, she cannot.
All right, it's time for worst move of the year, and your presenter for this is none other than Steven Miranda.
Worst move of the year. The nominees are the New York Jets trading for Tim Tebow, then hardly utilizing him.
But they paid him.
They did. The Miami Dolphins acquiring Chad Johnson and releasing him with limited wide receivers on their team.
But now they got a whole bunch.
Now they do. Using replacement referees for the first 3 weeks of the season.
Boo.
And the Redskins using RG3 as a wide receiver and almost injuring him on the play.
That's bad.
That was bad. Those are your worst moves of the year, and the winner is Jeffrey.
Those damn replacement referees.
This
I'm
was
sorry.
Close.
It was upsetting. I am glad that the voters got this one right. And on behalf of the replacement referees, I want to tell them all to go get another job.
Yeah. Do you know that
may
one of
never
the,
be
the
seen
dude
again.
That made the call,
yeah.
Seahawks called the touchdown,
okay.
The one that made
the touch reception.
Yeah, he's in bad shape. He's like depression. Like his wife says, doesn't want to do anything.
They should get a club of say the kid who's the kid who interfered with the Yankees ball. And then the kid in the World Series with the Cubs.
Yes, yes.
And they need to get a club of those people that are famous for all the wrong reasons. And it's really not their fault.
Right.
They were just doing their jobs. They, in the case of the fans, they were just being fans.
Right.
Going for a ball and play. In the case of a replacement official, you're making the best call you can.
Right.
No one thinks this guy made it an intentional stupid call.
Right.
He made the best call he could. Let's just say President Lincoln's bodyguard that night.
Yeah.
It was a bad night to be on duty and to not be minding the door in the box.
Right.
So if you're famous for the wrong reasons and it's
there
not your
group,
fault,
there, should be, a group
there should be group therapy for you that is state funded.
Yeah.
So that you can get over it and move on with your life, because no one should be defined by any one thing like that. That's not really your fault. You're the guy. I mean, Donnie Moore. Blows his brains out, Angels closer, in the 86 playoffs against the Boston Red Sox. Dave Henderson jacks a home run off of our closer. And many say costs us a chance to go to the World Series. We had many other chances to go to the World Series in that series, and that was the one, though, that defined it. And he blows his brains out.
Did he kill himself? Really?
Yes.
Wow, that's tough.
So we need to love on people that make mistakes, people, and let them off the hook.
So then we shouldn't
pile on.
Yeah.
Look, the people have spoken, and I think I voted against him also. So
it was close. It was close.
And we're just talking about
all the replacement.
We're not talking. Yeah, this award goes to all the replacement referees.
This goes to the league.
This goes to
for allowing the replacement refs to work the first.
Let's put on the commissioner's office.
There you go. That's who
didn't get the deal done. This will be faxed to the commissioner's office tomorrow.
All right, now it's time for a pretty big award, Jeffrey.
Big, 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 big,
and
big.
And it's Rookie of the Year.
This is the award. Goes the best one of the year.
At least we agreed on you.
There you go.
All right, and the nominees are Alfred Morris, running back of the Washington Redskins, for just blowing the top off his rookie season and making them relevant. Speaking of his teammate, Robert Griffin III, the quarterback. All in all, great draft by the Washington Redskins staff there. General manager Mike Shanahan et al. Andrew Luck, quarterback, Indianapolis Colts. Come on, dude. Help me out here. He comes in and just turns that team from losers to winners instantly. As does Russell Wilson, the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks, who comes on the scene, isn't even 6 feet tall, and says, I got your height right here as I beat you again with my legs, with my arm. And then Dougie Martin, little Dougie Martin, the running back that does, from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Those are your nominees for Rookie of the Year, and they are five good ones.
Yeah, as I look at the numbers from the votes,
yeah,
it's definitely a quarterback league, isn't it?
It is a quarterback league.
And your winner for Rookie of the Year is...
What?
Russell Wilson, quarterback, Seattle Seahawks.
Nice.
He just edged out RG3. Wow, you voted for him, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, there you go.
Previously on NFL Rants and Raves.
This is a quarterback-driven league. That doesn't mean it shouldn't be. That's from the last show.
Did we say that?
Yeah, you said that in the last show. I was putting together a clip, and I said, well, that's a quarterback-driven league. And you were very, very smartly said, that doesn't mean it should be. As far as awards go and everything else, because we were talking about the MVP and Joe Flacco and his contract.
Yes.
And I said, the award starts in the quarterback's hand, and it's his to lose.
Yes.
And you're like, yeah, but that doesn't make it right.
Right.
And you're right. But here, though, I think clearly.
Because Doug Martin.
Got no votes.
Zero. And
votes.
The brother just was a running
machine. He tore
machine.
It up. If it were not for him, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would be a farce.
Yeah, it would have been
this
nasty.
Year. I mean, it was bad enough being a Bucs fan this year.
I mean,
year.
Almo only got four.
That would be Alfred Morris, for those of you who aren't up on your jargon. And I still like
Anyways,
Jay
Flacco. I congratulate Russell Wilson. I understand that, you know, the Seahawks. But, look, RG3.
Steve's got a man crush on RG3. It's all there is to
don't
it. It started
have
at the draft, and you're like, I'm never going to say his name, but I admire the heck out of him.
Yeah, until, you know, he said.
Say my name.
And after that performance, I think it was after the Minnesota Vikings
game. So he got hurt?
No.
After you said his name? Is there a Miranda curse?
No. You got to say the brother's name, man. RG3. All right. It's time, Jeffrey, for the biggest surprise.
This is the biggest surprise. All these things are really surprising.
All right.
Surprise! We got you. We know we got you.
Surprise. We'll start. Am I doing the nominees?
No, but unless you just start doing it, in which case I'll be back on track for the big finish,
I'll
take. We've got Ravens knocking the Patriots out of the playoffs in New England. So some people thought that was disappointing. Some people thought that was surprising. Colin Kaepernick taking over for Alex Smith at quarterback and leading the 49ers to a Super Bowl. That's pretty darn surprising. NFL using replacement arrest for the first 3 weeks of the season. That was bad. That wasn't surprising. Chicago Bears failing to make the playoffs despite starting 7-1. We told you that was going to happen, so that shouldn't surprise anybody because we told you that was going to happen. Three rookie quarterbacks reaching the playoffs: Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin III, and Russell Wilson I. And dude, that's just a class in and of itself.
Wow, people, this was very close, Jeffrey.
Yeah,
are you ready for the winner?
Yes,
the winner is.
Actually, no.
Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin III, and Russell Wilson, three rookie quarterbacks reaching the playoffs for the first time.
That's unprecedented. Wow, what a great day. So right there on the nipping it on the heels was Colin Kaepernick taking over.
Yeah, and leading the Niners to the Super Bowl. Just a few votes, man. Just a few votes separated.
Two votes separated
those two.
And if I had been paying attention, it could have gone to them. Who knows?
Well, I think your Colin Kaepernick vote got isn't that who you wanted?
I don't remember.
No, I'm telling you, I know who you voted. That's who you voted.
You're not asking me. You're telling me, isn't that who you voted for? And I say, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
So that's why it was skewed so much. I see. All right. So defensive player of the year is the thing we got up next, and this is the defensive player of the year who was the defensive player of the year.
That's right. So let's sing along with it.
Because this is the defensive player. He was the best guy of the year.
I'm just following your lead.
If I follow your lead, it goes great.
But if you won't listen to mine, then we're doomed.
All right.
But I will follow your lead because why not?
Defensive player of the year, the nominees are Von Miller, linebacker, Denver Broncos.
Beast.
Tim Jennings, quarterback, Chicago Bears.
Beast.
Dude had, like 8, 10, 9 interceptions. And
beast.
Four of them returned for touchdowns. Crazy. J.J. Watt, defensive end, Houston Texans.
Beast.
Super beast. He was like SWAT machine. Lamar Houston, defensive end, Oakland Raiders.
Beast.
And linebacker of the San Francisco 49ers, Aldon Smith.
Beast. Brother Beast, too.
And your winner is
J.J. Watt, defensive end, Houston, Texans.
Big J.J. Watt.
Watt monster.
Yeah, this wasn't even close, dog.
It wasn't.
This was.
Although, I think I may have voted for Von Miller. That may have skewed that. I'm just, but I look, I was so torn between Miller and Watt. I really could not decide.
Torn?
I was torn because Watt SWAT was an amazing thing what he did. But Von Miller, again, just I think
you voted for Von Miller.
Yeah, I love man crush
See,
love.
I can
what
tell
he did.
You. I mean, if you want to know, it was if
no, it's okay. It's all cool. It's all cool, baby. It's all cool, baby. It's all good. I'm just saying there that I'm happy at the outcome because Watt clearly deserved the award.
Yes,
as did Von Miller. Any of these guys, they all had amazing seasons.
Yes.
The reason I didn't go with Alden Smith is because Justin Smith seemed to need. They seemed to require each
they
other
needed
to
each other.
Do well. And these are guys that seem to require very little help
yes.
to be monsters of the gridiron. And that brings us to some of our favorite categories, Stephen.
Yes, now we're getting into it.
Now it's
time
truly becoming
to have
Rants or Raves time.
Now it's time to, maybe this is the time of the show where we kind of do a dance number that is also funny.
Okay.
Do you have one?
Sure.
Yeah, you know, when Seth and Billy left us at the same time, that really, it created a void
okay.
in the show. So.
So with that void, we will allow the void to remain.
No, here, let's do this.
The Modernita again?
No. I got one. I got one. Are you ready? All right, here we go. Are you ready? We're just going to steal from Nirvana.
Okay. And I'm going to tell
you. You
got
to make the words. Ready? Funny words.
Went to a restaurant. Served breakfast all the time. I ordered French toast. During the Renaissance.
Are we talking over this?
I don't know. Apparently. did you like the joke?
French
went
toast
to a restaurant that serves breakfast at any time. So I ordered French toast during the Renaissance.
I see now.
That was pretty good. That's a Stephen Wright joke.
Okay.
Right. And my favorite Stephen Wright joke that he's always told, I went down the street to my 24-hour grocery, got there, the guy was locking the front door. I said, hey, sign says you're open 24 hours. Guy says, yeah, but not in a row.
Bum, bum. And with that, it's time for Boob of the Year. And I thought I had that.
That's okay. I got one more Stephen Wright joke.
Of the
if
year.
If toast always lands butter side down and cats always land on their feet, what happens if you strap toast on the back of a cat and drop it?
You're horrible.
I'm Boob of the Day. We're introducing Boob of the Day segment.
Oh, the day.
Is it warm enough in here for you? I'm going to turn off the heater.
Yeah, please.
I think the cave has finally gotten under control.
I didn't want it on. You just turned it on.
It's noon. That's how cold it can get in the cave. Noon
in
LA.
Oh, man. We've the Ravy Show, the 8th annual Ravy Show right now is what you're listening to. This is the 8th time we've done this show.
Hence the 8th annual.
Anyways, Boob of the Year, man. Is it my turn?
Probably.
Are you sure?
No. Wow, you had to go
you
there. Okay,
do.
It's my turn.
Yes, it is your
he
turn.
He was just making sure he ends up with MVP. That's all
that's
that matters.
Right. That's all
okay, Boob of the Year. We're going to start with the butt fumble. Mark Sanchez.
That should have won.
That should have won. Should have won.
Maybe it did win.
Maybe.
We don't know. We got to open the envelope.
And then Jack's quarterback, Luke McCown, having the worst day maybe in the history of quarterbacking. Three interceptions, two complete passes, and a quarterback rating of
1.8.
Didn't know they could go that low. Yes. Head coach Mike Tomlin keeping injured players on the field for far too long. He's been doing that for a couple years now. Mike Tomlin's building a rep. I don't care if you're hurt. Get out there and play. But I can't walk, sir. You don't have any legs. Yes, I do. Replacement refereeing Wayne Elliott for letting Golden Tate's touch reception stand in week 3.
Now, this is the head ref who saw the replay and still said, that's good. Touchdown. Let's go
that's
home.
That's good. Let's go home. By the way, it would piss off the crowd something fierce if we were to overturn that.
Do you think that's why he did it?
Guarantee.
He was
intimidated by the
cat
crowd. He was intimidated by the crowd.
I won't get out of Seattle alive.
Have you heard the fans in Seattle?
Yes.
They're kind of loud, aren't they?
Yeah, that's still Boob of the Year right there.
It is.
Let's see who the winner is. The winner is Wayne Elliott. Congratulations. The replacement ref for letting Golden Tate's touch reception stand.
He's a boob of the day
week
again.
Three.
Boob.
Of the year.
Yes. Wayne
of
Elliott.
Of the year.
You deserve it and enjoy it. Wear it with pride. In fact, we're going to take this special fax and we're going to send it in the shape of a necklace that can be worn so he can cut it out himself, follow the dots, and wear it with pride. And then, you know, maybe hang yourself. I didn't say that. We can't make jokes
you didn't
about
vote
those things.
For, you didn't vote for him, by the
no,
way.
No, it was the butt fumble.
You voted for Sanchez.
The butt fumble that will go down in history. I mean, there's few things that we'll remember for decades.
Yeah.
And I think this is that.
The butt fumble is.
It was classic.
But I
respect
don't think
the
that
others.
Makes you the whole year, boob of the whole year. Though.
But it's also emblematic of the Jets' season.
Yeah.
So that's the beauty of it. Sometimes somebody does something dumb, and that's just fine. That's not the way it is. Sometimes dumb is, wow, you couldn't have put it into one little two-second moment better than that. It's like, here's your Jets highlight video,
and
it's got that one play.
That's it.
Because you know what? That's the whole season. And then, you need a picture of Tim Tebow standing on the sideline. And then you show go to Sanchez fumbling after he runs into the butt of his – of his guard. Jeez, I'm stupid. Yeah. All right, another favorite classic only on NFL Rants and Raves. We have the most likely person to live under a bridge, also known as, or the guy mistaken for a hobo. So,
Hobo Joe!
That is another unique Rants and Raves award.
The nominees are.
Drama, wow.
Wide receiver Randy Moss, San Francisco 49ers.
Pretty bad beard.
Yeah.
Pretty bad beard.
And the dude wouldn't shave it.
No.
That's the thing. Quarterback, Indianapolis Colts, Andrew Luck.
The guy has got to learn to at least shave his neck.
Yeah, the neck's got to.
The neck has got to get. When your best facial hair is on your neck, Andrew, you shouldn't be in the facial hair department. Get it waxed. Okay, dude, make sure it don't come back. Laser removal. Andrew, do something permanent. Wear turtlenecks. Do something to not let us see your pale-ass skin against that dark hair. It's disgusting. You're like Grizzly Adams if he was a polar bear. Stop it.
All right, Brent Kiesel, the guy that's got a beard who has
whose
a beard.
Beard has a beard.
Yes.
Kiesel the Diesel.
And the final nominee, quarterback, used to be quarterback of the Buffalo
former
Bills.
Former quarterback of the Buffalo Bills.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. He got a gig.
He's with I was going to say currently unemployed. Was he a
no,
Jaguar?
I think he's a Tennessee Titan, I believe.
Okay. Good luck with that. Ryan Fitzpatrick. Oh, take the money and run.
Tennessee Titans agreed a two-year deal.
Oh, take the money and run.
I'll take a two-year deal to go play
hell
with the Titans.
Hell yes. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, I must say, of all the beards here listed, I think for Buffalo, New York, his looks most appropriate.
Yeah, except that at one point this season, he kind of thought he was ZZ Top. And it was
getting really long.
It was like, okay.
Getting really long.
Yeah, see, here's the, yeah, dude.
See, Kiesel, I don't think Kiesel deserves this award
this
ever
right
because Kiesel goes and grooms his so beautifully.
Yes.
Kiesel takes good care of his beard.
But if you didn't know he was a football player, you might mistake him for a hobo.
Nah, it's so groomed. A hobo with a comb. Because that thing is groomed.
A hobo with a comb. Well, let's find out who the winner is.
I got to know.
That's for you. Well,
drum roll, please.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it was the god-awful Randy Moss's beard.
Randy Moss. Give it up to
when
Randy
your
Moss.
Beard has male pattern baldness, okay, a little splotchiness here and there. Don't have one. See, unlike the hair on your head, you generally want to keep. Facial hair's an option, Randy.
Yeah. You
there you go.
Get rid of it.
I know. I just like to wake up, man, and roll with it. And I look in the mirror and I go, damn, you look good looking. And that's what the ladies tell me every time I go out to clubs is, damn, you're good looking. And it's not because of these diamond stud rings that I have and earrings and the bling and the cars and shit. No, it's because of me.
Well, let's move on.
Okay, Randy.
Just three more categories, Jeffrey.
Uh-oh, the
just
sadness.
Three more.
Sadness.
And now it is
time for offensive player. The best one to play of the year.
The The best one to play the year?
This year.
Oh, wow. Okay, that was reaching.
The best All right, one to wow. play this year.
How to introduce something badly. Peyton Manning, quarterback, Denver Broncos. Offensive player of the year, Adrian Peterson.
All I've got to say is this wasn't even close. I don't know the winner, but go ahead.
You don't know the winner.
Adrian Peterson.
I think everybody knows the winner.
Running back.
You just gave it away. So I got to do yours, the next one, because you just said it.
No, go. Keep going.
You did. You just said
it. Give me the rest of the nominees.
What's the point? Calvin Johnson, wide receiver, Detroit Lions. Robert the Griffith, the third quarterback, Washington Redskins. And Drew Brees, the slightly built quarterback of the New Orleans Saints.
Wasn't even close.
105 votes go to.
Are you ready? The winner is running back Adrian Peterson, all day
AP.
Minnesota Vikings. His second award of the year. It was quite impressive.
It was ridiculous.
He had a great season. I really wish the NFL would have called that final game, Minnesota and Green Bay, and told the refs. They had the clock wrong, and they needed to add two more minutes to the game.
I didn't feel like he was – well, you know, it's interesting. I remember the – was it Andrew Kramer that was interviewing? Who was it after the game? It was
Somebody,
a female reporter was interviewing him on the field, and he didn't know if he had
the record. He didn't know.
And he looked a little bit like an expectant parent. Did I get it? Did I get it? Did I get it?
No, well, he was like, didn't. Nine what? What do you mean nine?
Yeah.
I only missed
what?
By nine?
Nine what? I went over by nine or I'm under by nine?
Yeah, you're under by nine.
Okay.
I didn't know.
There it is.
I didn't know. I wish I would have known. Shoot. Had I known I only needed nine, I would have
gotten
them. I would have gotten them.
I could have gotten nine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I would have loved to have seen the record this year because records are made to be broken. But
next year.
Maybe next year.
Next year. He can do it.
They've got a better team there in Minnesota, so who knows? It's possible.
All right, Jeffrey, it's time for the category everyone listening has been waiting for. Are you ready? Yes?
It is the best show listener.
It's the best show listener. The one who treats us so cool.
Is it the one that listens the best?
Yes, it is the one who actually attunes their ears most properly. It's the attenuation process that makes this the best show listener of the year.
Should we say the best show donor? Because, I mean, the best show listener makes it sound like it's the best person that listens the best. It doesn't
only
mean-
to literalists like me. And I thought you were against literalists like me.
I am.
Okay, well.
I am against literalists. Well, give us the nominees. Oh, I'm giving you the nominees.
Yeah, I'm still reading jokes. The depressing thing about tennis is no matter how much I play, I'll never be as good as a wall. I played a wall once. They're relentless.
Best show listener nominees are Sharon Blackman.
The oft-nominated.
Yeah,
Sharon Blackman.
The oft-nominated. Derek Hanlon. You know what? I messed up this year. Usually when I...
You
put
messed
the
up.
Category.
I thought I was the guy who messes up.
When I put the name, I actually put
a little
reason why that person was nominated this year. So I feel bad for Derek. He didn't get the.
He didn't have to say he didn't get any
the,
votes.
The prop. I didn't say he get, but he should have gotten more.
You nearly said he didn't get any
I
votes.
I didn't say he didn't
he
get any
me
votes.
Into saying he didn't get any votes.
We didn't say he didn't get any votes.
He didn't even vote for himself.
I don't even know if Derek voted.
Well,
this
then you
was,
can't get best show listener if you don't vote.
This was the least voted Ravy show, by the way.
Wow.
Just thought you should know that.
Fewest participants.
Yes.
Well, show donorship is down because people feel like, are the guys going away?
No. But this goes to the anybody who was a show donor last season.
Right. But I'm saying the numbers have dropped. Those people worry that we're going to just throw in the
see.
Towel.
Throwing in the towel.
So that could have something
anyways,
to do with
so
it.
So anyways, Derek Hanlon, the reason he was nominated, let's just say he took care of you in London in your time of need.
In my dire time of need.
And me too. I mean,
yeah,
I
don't know how
well.
He would have gotten back.
What?
I don't know how he would have gotten back home.
I don't know. We would have walked.
Could I have safely walked home?
Yeah, probably not. I would have dragged you part of the way.
I don't want to be dragged. I get scrapes on my elbows and heels and stuff.
If I can't lift you up, I'm going to drag you.
Derek was so kind, and I remember Derek's
you
kindness. Barely.
Yes.
Barely. But he got us tucked into a cab very safely and got the cab driver oriented as to how we should get home.
Yes.
And that was very sweet of him.
Mike the Cabby Inns. Nacho Grande. Nacho Martinez. Nacho's been with the show since, like, forever.
Episode 2?
Yeah, something like
Episode 3?
And another great, kind listener, very big supporter of the show, Doc Rob, the Doc Up North. And those are your nominees, Jeffrey. The winner is...
I'm happy to report the man whose house we'll be staying in a few weeks near Battery Park, Nacho Martinez.
Nacho!
I can't say his whole name because there's too many of them.
Yes.
Nacho Francisco Cordero Montero Montigas Martinez.
Just adding, you're just throwing something in there.
I am because he's got so many names because he's a true Spaniard.
Nacho!
And his lovely wife and 200 others will be hosting us.
Congratulations. He said he laughed. She almost had a heart attack.
Yeah, well, that's what I expected. It was for Paloma.
It was for Paloma to make her
cow. And I found some pictures of her as a brunette. And
yeah.
Nacho, put the headphones on Paloma right now.
Oh, God. What? What are you going to say?
Yeah, chica rubia es muy bonita.
Oh, my God.
How you doing? There you go.
This is wife, man.
I'm complimenting her.
Okay.
That is all.
You said how you doing. You don't say how do you doing.
I first said la chica rubia es muy bonita.
Okay.
The girl with brown hair is very pretty.
You said bonitas, plural. That means there's many of them.
La chica You're saying rubia all the girls muy, with, is muy bonita.
Oh, there you go.
I'm sorry. My Spanglish is sloppy at best.
Yes.
And so I just barely remember that phrase from high school.
You're very sloppy.
I just barely remember that phrase from high school. But so, Nacho, we thank you. We thank everybody. Mike the Cabby, Derek Hanlon, Sharon, Doc Rob.
Yeah.
Thank all you guys.
Sharon, I'll give you a hug. I'll give you a hug.
She
I mean,
got
you didn't
19
win again.
Votes.
She got a lot of votes. I'll give her a hug.
She's great to hug.
Yeah. Really? You've hugged her before?
Of course I have.
How is it that you've met Sharon and I've not met Sharon?
Because you choose to roll on your own sometimes.
Yes.
You know, don't invite me to stuff? Like tomorrow's March Madness thing includes bracketology?
If you mean that I don't like to watch football games at Buffalo Wild Wings or wherever it is you would go.
Yeah.
On Sundays, and I'd much rather watch it in my home environs. Yes, that is true.
Well, that happens to be the case.
Okay. Well, that she went to go visit you when you were watching?
She went out of her way on a medical visit for a parent to stop by and say hi because she knew I was there. And just to buy me a drink, and then she tapped out.
Tito, get me a tissue.
She's the best.
All right.
She deserves to win next year. I'm just saying.
Well, you know what? I think we can very easily do that.
We can make that happen?
Yes.
Okay.
A vote from you and a vote for me, and it pretty much doesn't matter.
They're throwing us under the bus like it's our fault that she hasn't won.
I think it was this year.
But not in years past.
I think not in years past. No, not in years past.
That hasn't been our fault at all.
No. But this year I think it was. But although I think this year we kind of were moved by the kindness of someone allowing us to stay in their home.
Saving us about $350 a night for 4 nights. Do the math, friends.
Yeah, exactly.
That ain't chump change, okay?
Yeah, I think that kind of swayed us that way. But yeah. I think next year we need to be swayed more local.
Swayed more local.
Yeah.
L.A. love.
Yes, exactly.
All right, friends, we're running out of time.
The final category, the biggest award that the Ravies has to offer anyone in the NFL world.
And we're the only guys that tell you what we mean by it.
That's right. It is the NFL MVP. The guy who meant the most to his team.
See how I can follow you?
Yeah,
I can kind of follow.
It's the guy who meant most to
his team. We define it. No other sport tells you what they mean by the MVP. None.
Yes.
They let it be completely subjective and let
it be. It's the most valuable player.
It's the guy who meant the most to his team. No, it's the best guy in the league.
Yeah.
It's the guy who played absolutely lights out best in the league, even if he was on the Kansas City Royals and was their catcher. I don't care. He had monster numbers. No, he wasn't on a team that was relevant, so he doesn't get the award. That's every sport.
Right.
If you're not on a relevant team, you don't get an award.
Yes.
We say that's bull crap.
Bull crap. If you
if you single-handedly carried your team,
yes,
the team would not even should not even exist without you.
As a matter of fact, I go as far as to say that this team wouldn't have been in the playoffs had this player not been there.
I think people get fired if this guy isn't on his on this team. And you take these other guys away, and you're not going to have that situation. And as a result, the nominees are. Can I get a little drum roll for the final one? Nominees are. Drew Brees, quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. He kind of held that team together, Steven.
Sure did.
J.J. Watt, defensive end, Houston Texans.
Yeah, it's very difficult for a defensive
It's very difficult for a defensive player to win this.
Yeah, the Houston's defense, even when Brian, as a matter of fact, when Brian Cushing left the game because of his injury,
yeah.
J.J. Watt
stepped up
that,
big.
Yeah,
Calvin Johnson, wide receiver, Detroit Lions.
Yeah, dude, to put up those kinds of numbers. Yeah.
On such a bad team.
Yeah.
Can we say it? On
yeah.
such a bad team. He and Larry, free them both. Adrian Peterson, running back, Minnesota Vikings. Pretty much the only guy there that was worth a damn last year.
Yep.
Peyton Manning, quarterback, Denver Broncos. Where would they be? Wow. Without Peyton Manning. That's impossible to
that's
even
another
figure.
Team that I'm not sure makes the playoffs if Manning.
Oh, I'm certain that they don't make the playoffs. And John Fox doesn't win Coach of the Year kind of nonsense. So there it is.
And
the winner is
Adrian Peterson, running back, Minnesota Vikings. He gets his third award of the day.
The trifecta, the hat trick.
MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, and Comeback Player of the Year.
Yay.
Fantastic.
Congratulations to a nice guy and a hard worker.
Great year for Adrian Peterson. We hope he's able to repeat it again next year.
Hard.
And that has been Jeffrey.
Nathaniel Rabies. We hope you enjoyed
our
the
show.
Okay. I thought maybe you could follow me this time, even though I didn't know where I was going.
I didn't know where you were going. But there you go.
I hope you enjoyed the show.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, too bad we didn't
So many people say it's their favorite show of the year, and I don't get that. But you know what? Who am I to judge? Because I'm, you know, only the guy on this side of a microphone. It's up to you guys. You know, my therapist says that I have a preoccupation, Stephen, with vengeance.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Nice. And who is this again?
That was Canada's finest, Stuart Francis. I went to a karaoke bar. I don't even know where this joke's going, so I hope it's not dirty. I went to a karaoke bar last night that didn't play any 70s music. At first, I was afraid. Oh, I was petrified. I don't know what that means. Wow. I thought it might be dirty, and then I end up finding it's not funny.
At first, I was afraid I was petrified. He's starting to do a joke. He's starting to do a song. It's a song.
I was afraid. Oh, I was petrified.
I was petrified.
Oh. Oh, no, not I. I will survive.
I will survive.
Wow. Well, I went to a karaoke bar last night that didn't play any 70s music. At first, I was afraid. I was petrified. If you do the joke like that, maybe it works. But otherwise, forget it. We're out. We want to thank you all for listening and joining us and hanging with us as long as you have. Means a lot that anyone's listening and that we could possibly make someone's day a little bit better. I am Jeff Ellis.
I'm Steven Miranda.
And you've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves.
Thank you for listening to the 8th annual Ravies. Congratulations to all the winners. And we will be seeing you soon. For NFL Rants and Raves, we're out.
Louis C.K., love him. Why can't we have racism that's ignorant but nice? You could have stereotypes that are positive about race. You could say, wow, those Chinese people, they sure can fly. You know about the Puerto Ricans? They're made of candy.